Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets Podcast with Essan Coman, Head of Emerging Markets Research, EMEA. It's Friday, 5th March 2021, and this week we're discussing emerging markets assets. The following podcast is intended for professional investors and eligible counterparties only, and not for retail clients. Any content should not be regarded as an offer to conduct investment business or an investment recommendation, but for information purposes only. So, Essan, emerging market assets are precariously balancing on a tightrope as they attempt to manage the rebound in global growth expectations versus a rise in US Treasury yields. With this, can we expect emerging markets to experience another bout of instability, like in the 2013 taper tantrum episode?
Thanks, Una. So yes, in classic fashion, emerging markets have been shaken by moves in the precipitous rise in US Treasury yields, which reflect repricing of both expectations and real risk premium. I think it's prudent to mention that at the outset that we do not anticipate a full-blown rerun of the taper tantrum of 2013 when US yields spiked on worries that the US Federal Reserve was about to tighten interest rates, with the impact reverberating across emerging markets. I think this time around, US yields are likely to be capped. Now, this does not rule out some instability, which we can perhaps flag as taper tension, especially amid volatility both in US rates and emerging market FX. Indeed, distinct spikes in both have coincided with a shock-like rise in rates in emerging market high yielders. Now, previous episodes show that a sharp increase in US rates tends to have a disproportionate impact on EM bond yields and other EM asset classes. And an integral part of this equation is EM capital outflows, which were particularly sizable in 2013 and exacerbated the situation. Now, this time around, the pandemic-driven EM debt outflows during 2020 have already surpassed the volumes in the 2013 taper tantrum, which softens the extent of further capitulation in foreign debt holdings in 2021. However, even if the scale of capital outflows is more modest this time, the market impact on EM rates could still be quite significant, considering policy extremes and distorted term premiums in several emerging markets. So certainly, we would say a major risk factor to monitor is EM capital outflows in the coming weeks ahead. But all in all, whilst the decoupling of EM rates from US rates in late 2020 and early this year has come under quite some scrutiny with the latest bout of market volatility and surging US Treasury yields, we do not expect to see a full-blown rerun of the 2013 taper tantrum, but we do expect some taper tensions among emerging markets.
So digging into the details here, Essan, what makes the emerging markets thesis comparatively more positive this time around compared to the previous taper tantrum episode of 2013?
So, Una, yes, the stress in EM assets has been limited so far, indicating that investors are really not ready to abandon the EM value proposition as yet. Indeed, this kind of plays into our optimistic EM outlook for 2021, with the basic premise of our thesis signaling that pro-cyclical EM assets, namely equities, credit, and FX, remain quite resilient when compared with their performance during other rate tantrums. And this primarily stems from, first, their higher cyclical sensitivity to the robust global economic recovery and rising commodity prices. Second, a resilient Chinese growth backdrop. And third, the robust EM external balances vis-a-vis previous flare-ups. So just taking one of these in turn. So first, and perhaps most importantly, EM assets can weather rising core yields when they are pushed higher primarily by an upward re-rating of global growth rather than shifting expectations of Fed policy. And in February in particular, of course, stronger global growth expectations were reflected in both higher developed markets and not just US yields, and in significantly higher commodity prices that for many EM assets can still help cushion the blow of higher core rates. Second, the fact that China, despite some policy tightening and despite some easing in the pace of domestic sequential activity, still features a stable, strong growth outlook, which is an important advantage for EM assets compared with a more significant downshift in Chinese growth leading up to the 2013's taper tantrum. Finally, the fact that EM external balances are significantly healthier compared with other times in the post-Great Financial Crisis era, even among many high-yielding countries that traditionally run current account deficits and therefore the EM complex is less resilient on external financing and has been a key driver of EM asset resilience over the past month.
And so within emerging markets, which ones are likely to benefit from this higher US and broader developed markets yields environment, Ehsan?
So our rates colleagues believe that most of the higher moves in US Treasury yields are now behind us, but still do see some room for yields to move higher, albeit at a more gradual pace, though through the cyclical recovery. And so from an EM perspective, assets that have an explicit link with commodities, such as the GCC countries, predominantly the core states in the GCC, Russia, Mexico, and South Africa, have scope to outperform in March. And so reflecting our bullish oil price thesis, which we believe still has further to run, as well as the broader benign commodities environment, does position commodity-related EMs, which offer a lot of upside. But more generally, and beyond this latest episode, we still caution that a more selective approach in adopting an EM pro-cyclical stance is deserved in 2021, focusing more on bottom-up heterogeneous domestic developments rather than top-down macro to differentiate EMs. And when examining our modeling estimates to determine which EMs will lead and which ones will lag in the context of which benefit more from vaccines, you know, whose exports are more competitive, which central banks ought to quickly return to orthodoxy, and which governments are dealing with high debt levels, we recommend a positive EM macro bias on Asia-Pacific economies, whilst robust business cycle recovery in LATAM countries, albeit with considerable heterogeneity, also should see some support. And we remain quite constructive on Central and Eastern European states, given the close coordination at the EU level on the vaccine rollouts, though the virus will leave a lasting impact on the level of GDP. Meanwhile, energy exporters will likely muddle through given the twin nature of the oil and virus shocks. And finally, sub-Saharan Africa does remain the focus of our concerns.
Well, great to hear this insight, Ehsan, and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Anna. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe, and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for further information. Come back next week for more insights from our global markets research team.